Hey, one of the things we do on this show, and if you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522, is we try to lighten your heart a little bit. And I bring on as many guests as I can who have not only great stories of their own journey as caregivers, but also funny people, just wonderful people. Because I listen to a lot of comics. And I was, you know, I listen to comics, don't you, John?
I think you read comics and listen to comics.
Well, I listen to comedians. Sorry about that. Thank you for that correction. And one of the guys I listen to, I have like four that are my absolute favorite. I think I'll start with Jay, but it's Jeff Foxworthy, John Panette, Jerry Seinfeld, and Jeff Allen. And Jeff Allen is on the show with me today. Jeff, you there?
I am here, man.
Listen.
I comics as well. Mocking the comic.
Oh, it's Judd. Don't listen to him.
I was going to tell you a funny story. Years ago, my wife, I don't know if you ever read Nancy and Sluggo.
Oh, read it. Yes, I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, you loved it? Oh, my God. Yeah. I never laughed once at Nancy and Sluggo, ever.
I was four.
So anyway, Tammy's at the kitchen table, and she starts laughing. Just laughing. I go, what? She goes, read this. And she puts Nancy and Sluggo in front of me. And I look at it and I go, I don't get it. She goes, I gotcha. And it was syndicated for decades.
Well, it was. I was four when I read it, so it was funny to me.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
And it was like reading Ramona. Hey, listen, thank you for taking the time to call into the show, and thank you for making my life a little bit lighter. I listen to you when I'm going down the road, and I bought a couple of your CDs. And when I said, actually, I want you to know how technologically astute I am, Jeff. I actually sent the iTunes to two of my brothers who just had birthday. One of them's over in Qatar at the embassy there, and and he needs a little bit of humor in Qatar. I'm just saying, not a lot of comedy in Qatar. There, you know what I'm saying?
A little intense. But there's no comedy clubs in Dubai.
Well, not the kind that we want to go to.
Right.
But it's because you have such a way and such a gift, and all of us related. I have four brothers, and we all related because our first car was a 69 Bug. That was our first car, and you're bent on that, and you just made me laugh. So I remember I called up your team there, and I said, please. Please, please tell me this guy has a caregiver story so I have an excuse to bring him on the show. And I love your story, man. I mean, you've got such an amazing heart that comes through in your comedy, and the people that I interact with desperately need that. And I want you to know how meaningful it is that you've taken the time to call. And I want to give you time to really share your story, and we're at the bottom of the hour, but I want people to know that you're on the phone, you're here with us, and if you want to call in, 800-688-9522. This is Jeff Allen, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Jeff Allen Comedy. I think your website is jeffallencomedy.com, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Don't go to jeffallen.com. I believe that's the porn site.
What? Tell me it's not.
I think if somebody told, I was doing something with the Gaithers, and somebody goes, your name.com, and I go, what? She goes, it's not nice. It's not very good. And I finally took her a while. She says, it's porn. I went, oh, really? We couldn't buy jeffallen.com. We couldn't get it. But Jeff Allen Comedy.
jeffallencomedy.com.
You've been warned.
Well, you're going to love this man's heart. If you haven't heard him before, hang on. You're going to love this man's heart and his humor and his story, and we'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. We're glad you're with us. Don't go away. Listen, thank you for that, John. I'm amazed at the friends I have on my mystery ship here.
And it is a mystery, let's be fair.
A mystery. Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 3 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of somebody who is not. And part of that is learning to lighten your heart. Our hearts are heavy enough. We have to look at some grim things. But you know what? We don't have to be grim as we look at these things. And that's what my guest, Jeff Allen, is going to share with us some things he's learned along the way. He has made a huge name for himself as a comedian, and he's got a powerful message. himself, a journey, a walk of faith, and his life. He makes me laugh, but I love the kind of humor he has. He's not working out his angst and his misery on stage. He is genuinely loving life, and he's with us. So, Jeff, thank you for being on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Nah, you're welcome, man. I'm having a blast listening to you guys.
Tell me your journey, because, you know, everybody's got a story on this thing. If you're love somebody, you're going to be a caregiver. If you live long enough, you're going to need one. You've got a story.
Because it goes back to I remember when my grandmother was diagnosed with dementia, and my mother, I was sitting to listen to my aunts and my mom and her sisters. They would take care of her, and I was sitting there listening to them, and they're cutting up and laughing, and I look at her, and I go, why are you laughing? I mean, Grandma's sick. And she looks, she goes, Jeffrey, we've cried enough about this. She said, if you don't laugh about it, it'll just eat you alive. And then years later, Tammy, my wife, you know, my beautiful wife, she used to rescue dogs. So one day she calls me from Kansas City, and she says, I got a problem. I go, what? She goes, somebody told me that Eileen. And I said, who's Eileen? She says, an old friend of the family's. She's 81 or 82 years old, and someone just told me that she's living in a dog kennel. And I go, pardon me? She goes, her stepson, who's supposed to be taking care of her, has her living in the dog kennel. Oh. And I said, do you know that to be a fact? She says, no, I'm on my way over there right now. So anyway, she calls me an hour later. She goes, Jeff, it's true. She's living in a dog kennel. What do I do? I said, well, if you'd left it as a rumor, we could have ignored it.
Wow.
you can't leave a human being in a dog kennel. So,
I've been saying that for years.
Yeah, gather her up, bring her home. So anyway, she scoops her up, brings her home. I said, we'll sort it out. And it was about a year and a half to 2 years of just her stepson. She had assets. Her stepson was waiting for her to die. He just wanted her money. Anyway, he tried to sue us, came over here, hired a lawyer here, and it was a nightmare. But it was interesting because we didn't know that she had dementia. We would know now. You look back on it, and for like the first 3 months she was with us, we just finished every sentence she started. She would start to say something, and we'd go, "Oh, Bob Peterson." Yeah, she'd go, "Yeah, that's it, Bob Peterson." So anyway, we finally had her tested at Vanderbilt. So I called a doctor friend of mine that I play golf with, and I said, we just had Eileen tested for dementia. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, we think she's kind of loopy. And he said, I talked to her for an hour the other night at the golf course. We had dinner up there. She seemed fine to me. Anyway, I said, yeah, but you're a pediatrician, doc. You talk to two-year-olds all day.
Yes, you're not helping me.
We'll wait for Vanderbilt to do the diagnosis. So anyway,
he's a veterinarian.
Yeah, exactly. Tammy brings her home. I said, "How'd our girl do?" She said, "She's got dementia. She's not doing well." And anyway, it was supposed to be a couple of months while we sorted some things out. Turned into almost 2 years, and then eventually she got to where she needed 24-hour care. And we had hired somebody at Dave Ramsey's office to handle her finances, and then they hired an attorney to run everything. And we got a caretaker to come in while we traveled. My wife traveled and I traveled. And anyway, we fought the estate when Eileen had to go into assisted living to make sure that that caretaker stayed with her until she passed. And they didn't want to do it. They go, well, this is a nice place. I said, no, she needs to have somebody there. And then we would visit probably a couple times a month. But she was with us for 2 years. And it's tragic. Right? When I get to heaven, I think my first question to God is, why that? Why take the memories? You know, that was one of the saddest things. You know, because Tammy would tell me about the way she was when she was younger. But she was so sharp, so smart, so, you know. And so anyway, that's like my biggest fear. Is that, you know, I'm doing all this exercise and working out, and I said my heart's going to be strong. I don't want my mind to go, you know.
Well, you know.
My fear is I'll end up doing my act. I'll be 81 years old, and my grandchildren would be going, why is he talking about a Volkswagen? What is a Volkswagen?
What is this happy wife, happy life bit?
Happy life thing. You know, hey, God, what's going on with Grandpa?
What's the matter with Grandpa? He keeps saying thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thank you. I'll try to be. I'll be here all week.
Tip your waitress. Remember, the 7:30 show is totally different from the 9:30 show.
Well, you've got a hot button issue with you is financial organization and planning with this thing with caregivers, I guess, because you've watched this thing with Eileen of what happened and her whole world was wrecked because.
Oh my gosh. And then her friend, the one woman she knew on the planet by name, Nora, she was in Canada. So that was the whole thing. We said, we'll get you a passport. We'll send you up to Canada. You'll live with Nora. You'll be fine. Right. Well, before anybody knew she had dementia, there was somebody handling her finances. Well, anyway, Nora contacted those people, said she needed $600,000 to remodel the house and get it ready for Eileen. So they asked Eileen, is it all right if Nora takes $600,000 for a remodel? And, of course, Eileen, nobody knew she was ill. So she says, sure. So anyway, she gets a $600,000 check. Then she calls back for another $600,000. So it's like $1.2 million. We knew nothing about it. We told the financial people, we don't want to know anything about her money, nothing, because I know what it looks like. I know what it looks like. So we don't want nothing to do with it. We don't want a dollar, dime, whatever. Just you take care of that, and if anything comes up, the major, then we'll requisition for it, and then you'll cut a check for it. But other than that, $1.2 million ripped her off. It took, I don't know how many months for the attorneys, maybe it might even take it over a year, to get some of that back. Before they realized that it was just stolen. So she never ended up in Canada. And then her stepson, again, sues us, wanted to, whatever the balance. And I said, look, pal. He came to my house once. I looked him in the eye and said, look, pal. She was living in a dog kennel under your care. Do you think that for a second that we're going to let her go live with you?
Mm.
I said, pack it up. Go back to Kansas, you know. And then as it worked out, the attorney kept pushing, and Tammy ends up, and my wife is in. They came to us and said, you have to fight for custody. I go, I don't want to fight for custody. I said, I don't have the resources if this gets into a legal battle. She said, if you don't fight for custody, we have to honor her wishes, and her wishes are to go up to Canada to live with the thief. But if you fight for custody, then we can still, we'll fight on her behalf for you.
Well, God bless you for doing this, Jeff.
It was. And then Tammy sits for 8 hours at an arbitration in tears. That's when she found out about the $1.2 million. She looked at Eileen and she said, "I am so." She's crying. I'm so sorry that you had to live in. I mean, we have like Goodwill stuff. We have garage sale furniture. it's like Tammy's just going, "My God, I'm so sorry, Eileen, that you had to." And we weren't paying attention. We didn't, but nobody knew, Again, it's at the beginning stages. She fooled everybody.
Well, I had a friend of mine on here that's a neurologist, and we talked about one of the things he said. The first question when there's a diagnosis of dementia, Alzheimer's, or whatever, the first question that the family starts dealing with is the money. How much is this going to take away from my inheritance? You know, all that kind of stuff. And really? And families come to blows over this thing. It really is sad and tragic. And if you don't lay out exactly what you want to do with your resources and how you want these things done, then you're going to find yourself possibly living in a kennel one day. I mean, it's just that bad.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that whole thing, in the middle of all of it, we went and had our first will drawn up, living will, for that reason. That's exactly what we got out of it was, Tammy, we need to get this laid out for our kids and everything.
Well, and
it's not like
we
have a lot of assets, but it's like, we just want to make sure that everything is in order.
Well, it is, and this is it's a sad reality, and it's this is not an isolated case, Jeff. It's tragic as this is. This is not the only time that this story has been told about a family situation like this, where vast amounts of money. I mean, $1.2 million minimum that you had that could have been used to really protect somebody, but because it was just squandered away, stolen away, and so forth, and people are taking advantage of people like this. So God bless you and your wife for stepping up for somebody you're not even related to. And
no, that was what I said to her. I go, you know, go back to picking dogs up.
It's a lot cheaper.
People are a lot messier.
But they are, and it's a messy business taking care of someone, and there's some real heartache in this thing, and so thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Her dad just came with her dad comes in December for Christmas. Her mom passed away a year ago, and you know, we're very aware. My father, when my mother passed away, he moved in with my sister, and it probably extended his life another 6-7 years. We were really worried about my dad. So anyway, I said to Tammy, you know, when your dad, so anyway, I said, invite him over for Christmas. You know, he couldn't get here for Thanksgiving. I said, bring him here for Christmas and tell him, you know, he could stay, you know, as long as he needs to. Anyway, he's here for like 2 days, and I hear him on the phone with her sister. I think I'll leave in May.
I think I'll leave in May.
I go, what? Man. I look at Tammy, I go, we're not set up for this. I said, we need to, you know. So anyway, it turned out, I finally, he took a fall living with us. And we ended up at the Williamson County and Medical Center. And I looked at Tammy and I said, he can't go home. He can't be by himself. I said, he's really, she said, Jeff, I can't do that to you. I go, you're not doing it to me. I said, look, we're teaching our kids how to live with us. I said, this is, you know, I'm 60 years old. So I said, you know, he's 76. I said, that's not that far away. So at least we can show our kids, you know, the way you treat family. You know, and anyway, he goes out for an oil change in Dixon, and comes back with a $42,000 Ford Taurus.
Talk about your trading up!
Oh my gosh, he has no money. I go, how did you get that car? You have no money. He goes, oh, they just I just signed these papers, and then they get. I go, oh my god, we tried to give it back, we couldn't give it. I mean, it was a mess. So anyway, Tammy said to him, why would you buy this car? He says, it has leather seats. What are you, 12? Well,
it had a good stereo. you know, yeah. But this is you know, and we can laugh about these things. You're right. I love what your aunt said. I think it was. He said, we've cried enough tears.
Right.
And you learn to just say, okay, we're going to look at this thing for what it is. It's part of the human experience and human drama. And you don't have to be bitter about it. And
Not at all.
You and Tammy have cried enough tears over these things, and you have, and you can't go through this kind of stuff. And she sat there for 8 hours watching, like you said, you cry enough tears, you learn to laugh about it. And then that healthy explosion of laughter kind of calms you down so you can make better decisions with it. And,
well, here's a classic example of that. We had a rough day with her dad, a really rough day. She did. I mean, she's, you know, it's her dad. So she's taking care of him. She's cooking dinner for him. She doesn't cook dinner for me. You know, of course, my wife, she used to bring oatmeal to the chickens. And I said, you know, I've been married to you for 30 years. You never made me oatmeal. You know, can you bring them out to the chickens? She said, lay an egg. I'll get you some oatmeal. she had a rough day with her dad. I mean, really, just rough. We were in the car because she didn't want her dad to overhear what she had to say. I mean, she was just really rough day. And an hour later, she's on the phone with her sister, and they're laughing till they have tears in their eyes. And she's telling her the same stories that she told me, angry. But she's sharing them with her sister, and her sister's telling her, remember the time Pop did this, remember the time. And it was so good for me to hear my wife laughing about what, you know, 4 hours earlier was just, I can't take it anymore, we're not going to make this, I can't deal with this, I can't, you know. It's this ebb and flow of you know, a responsibility that you know you got to have. I mean, you got to take, and then the acceptance of the responsibility, pushing back against the responsibility. Like, why me? Why do I have to do this? To the point where you just go, because if I don't, nobody else will, and then you accept it, and then that's where the healing or at least the peace of it with it comes in.
You know, and the valley of the shadow of death sometimes extends beyond the horizon, but he's with us. He's not abandoning us.
Absolutely.
And he, you know, his hand is on us. And I tell that to folks. I said, look, we're stewards of this thing. We're not owners. You guys didn't do this to Eileen. Right. You didn't do this to your father-in-law. And I tell people, you know, look down at your hands. If you don't see nail prints, this ain't yours to fix.
Right.
You know, and God is going to equip you with what you need. And you know what? He equipped you and Tammy with not only huge hearts, but this ability to turn this a little bit sideways and let yourself laugh and heal through it and then help others do the same thing. Even come on the show, Jeff, you have no idea how many people who are dealing with horrific circumstances, yeah, having those bad days like Tammy had, and they're listening to you now and being so encouraged by that and realize, you know what, if Jeff and Tammy can do this, you know what, that same God is going to sustain me in this thing too, and I can do it too. And that's a great gift. Thank you.
Yeah, and they're not alone, because I'm shocked in the last month. I've been, you know, golf season started, so I'm playing golf with all my, and I'm shocked at almost 90% of the guys I've been golfing with for years have either gone through it or are going through it right now, and they've never told, you know, they never talk about it.
Well, that,
and I'm on the golf course and I'm talking about it, and they go, yeah, I know, my father-in-law moved in, you know, 8 months ago, and we're dealing with now, he's we're ready to get assisted living. All the stuff, it's just part of life. It's certainly a part of, you know, and thank God we have the resources.
Well, know, and the ones that don't have it, you know what, there's resources out there. Sometimes, yeah, it's not a lack of resources, just a lack of resourcefulness. And right, and that's what I'm on a mission to do with this show, is to be able to speak into the chaos, the confusion, the bitterness, the anger, the resentment that caregivers feel, and offer a path towards safety so they can make good decisions. Hey, listen, yeah, this has been our time with Jeff Allen, and thank you for taking the time to call. JeffAllenComedy.com. If you want to hear a comedian that truly lifts the hearts of people in his audience, I mean lifts them, this is the guy, JeffAllenComedy.com. Jeff, I don't know what to say other than how grateful I am. Thank you.
Thank you, man. And by the way, I'll be at the Franklin Theater June 9th.
June 9th.
June 9th at the Franklin Theater.
We'll put that on the website when I post this out, so I'll be sure to link that. Thank you, and I'm going to have to come out there myself.
Oh, I hope so. I'd love to meet you, and thank you for what you do. This is a big, big, important thing. We live longer.
Well, it is. Well, listen, we got to run, and Jeff, thank you. Thank you. We'll see you. This is Peter Rosenberg, and we'll be right back.
Thank you, Peter. Bye, man. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who's not. And if you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522. That was a great time with Jeff Allen. Any wonderful?
Oh, just fantastic.
I love comedians. I just love them.
And absolutely.
But I like the ones who are so good at what they do, and they aren't working out their crud on stage.
You, yes, know,
there's a trust level. They're going to take you into a better place, not try to make themselves look smart and clever by barbecuing a political figure or, you know, religion or whatever. But they just look at life through a great lens.
I want barbecue now.
You want barbecue. So I'm just grateful for them. I had a
great guest, and yeah.
I just love him. I had a question that came in while we were on the air. We got somebody said, how do you know, because we're talking about dementia patients and so forth.
Sure.
And they said, how does the caregiver know that the time has arrived to put their loved one into long-term memory care? That's a great question, by the way. I don't think that's something that the caregiver can make on their own as an arbitrary decision.
Well, and there are, at the end of the day, yes, the caregiver is the one who ends up making a lot of decisions, but the goal that is one
you don't have to make by yourself.
Right. And there's many decisions, we talk about this all the time, get a good team around you.
Always. In fact, I don't think you can make that decision by yourself.
Yeah.
I think that you start off with your physician. That's the first place you start off with. And then you can, or counselor, mm-hmm, you can do that. A social worker may be able to help pull together some things. But if the patient is unreasonable or whatever like that, the loved one is,
or if other family members, then
you're going to need a good team around you,
yeah,
and that's going to be from licensed professionals who can bring weight of their office to the decision making process, and it's not just one,
right? And this is helping make a decision, and you know, like family members are going to have to come together on this, and professionals are going to have to come together on this, and all that. It's just going to be,
and you cannot make somebody do the right thing. okay? Please understand that as a caregiver. What you can do, though, is refuse to participate in the wrong thing.
There you go.
You know, if somebody's driving the wrong way down the interstate at 65, you know, miles an hour, you can't make them get into the right lane. But you can say, you know what, I'm going to tuck and roll. Now, you may get banged up, but it's better than running into something full
right.
tilt.
If it's a choice between the ER and
the morgue,
and the morgue, I'm taking the ER.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, it's one of those things. You don't have to get in the car with them or stay in the car with them. Hey, listen, a couple things real quick. I wanted to tell you this. We're getting ready, in the little bit of time I have left here, we're putting together right now, John, a pallet of resin and other types of equipment, two different pallets here. I'm sending over about 14 gallons of acrylic resin with a catalyst agent to Ghana to make approximately, depending on the legs, 60 to 70 legs, depending on if they're above knee or below knee legs.
Oh, right on.
Through Standing with Hope. Standing with Hope's the presenting sponsor of this show. Gracie, after giving up both of her legs, founded this tremendous ministry. And we equip and train local workers in West Africa to build limbs for their own people. And we could use your help. We could use your help today. It's Standing with Hope. If you like what you're hearing on this show, and if it is reaching you and it's touching, it's lifting your heart up, help us export even more things to lift others up. We literally lift other people up and give them legs to stand on. And we've been doing this for 12 years, and we need to ship these supplies over. You could go to standingwithhope.com. And see what we do. Now, part of what we do is we send recycled components over there. CoreCivic has been a partner with us for years. That's a local prison here in Tennessee. It's one of their prisons. It's the nation's largest private correctional facilities organization. And inmates, through a merit-based program, work in a shop where they disassemble the used prosthetic limbs that we collect from all over the country. And they come into this shop, and then they will disassemble them for us all the way down to the screw level so that we can take those parts and recycle them and use them. Knees, feet, pylons, connectors, adapters, you know, all the little intricate parts of a prosthetic leg that can be recycled. And then we'll purchase the things that can't be. We'll ship it all over there, and other people will walk. CoreCivic's been helping us with that for now almost 6 years, and we're just grateful for them. It's an amazing program, one-of-a-kind program. I mean, nobody's done that before with inmates doing this. And you can see more at CoreCivic.com of all the programs they do to help keep inmates from coming back, to give them things they can do that are positive. It's a great organization. StandingWithHope.com for more on this show, for more on how you can get involved. And I'm very grateful that you took the time to spend with us today. I hope that we accomplished our goal here with you. I know we did. Your hearts are lighter. You have more tools. You're holding your head up a little higher. That's what we're about here, is helping strengthen fellow caregivers. And we are so glad that you gave us the time and trusted us with your heartache and your journey. Healthy caregivers make great caregivers. They make better caregivers. And today's a great day to start being a healthy caregiver. Listen, standingwithhope.com. There's so much more. We'll see you next week. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad you stopped by.